Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We always appreciate you listening every Sunday night to the Bible Crossfire program. We allow you to call in with your questions or comments about the Bible. And what we do is we examine what many different Bible teachers, different preachers teach. They teach conflicting doctrines, as we all know, from different churches. They teach different things. And what we do is we look at what the Bible actually says on those topics. Many people are confused. They think if all these people teach different things that the Bible must be impossible. It must be impossible to understand the Bible. But no, the Bible says that we can read it and understand it, Ephesians 3, 3 and 4. And so that's what we do. We read what the Bible says, and the difference is we believe what it says instead of believing what we want the truth to be or what we think the truth ought to be. Instead, we believe what the Bible actually says the truth is. A perfect example of this is the subject of homosexuality. We can see this because most churches have changed on this issue in the last couple of decades. 100 years ago, not a single church out there would teach that homosexuality is okay. But many churches today teach that it is. Tonight, I want you to give you the example of the Presbyterian Church, how that just a few years ago, they changed their official stance from rejecting homosexuals as being faithful Christians while they were practicing homosexuals, and now they say they can be considered faithful Christians even though they're practicing homosexuals. They hadn't repented. Let's begin with the verse in the New Testament that shows that homosexuality, both by gay men and lesbians, clearly it's wrong. Romans 1, 24, and then 26 and 27 reads this way. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So 26 is clearly showing that lesbianism is wrong. 27 is clearly showing that gay men, that their practice is wrong. Not only is it a sin, this verse says that they're doing something unnatural. They weren't born that way. The natural thing is for a man and a woman, as they reach puberty, to be attracted to the opposite sex. We can see from this passage then, it's unnatural if they allow their mind to be perverted to the extent that they're attracted to the same sex. That's unnatural. It's a sin and it's unnatural, according to Romans 1, 26 and 27. Now, but any of us that were born before about 1985 has seen the dramatic change in U.S. society toward accepting homosexuality. We've all seen it. And let me illustrate this change with how the Presbyterian Church has changed, and I will do that by quoting from the Presbyterian Church some of their official documents. For example, in 1978, we're quoting from the minutes of the 190th General Assembly, United Presbyterian Church in the USA, page 261 and 62. It says, homosexuality is not God's wish for humanity. On the basis of our understanding that the practice of homosexuality is sin, we are concerned that homosexual believers and the observing world should not be left in doubt about the church's mind on this issue during any further period of study. And so the practice of homosexuality is sin. That's what the Presbyterian Church said in 1978. But next I want to read to you what they said in 1980. The same thing, the General Assembly, but this is 2 years later, the 192th General Assembly, 192nd Presbyterian Church in the United States. They said homosexuality presents a particular problem for the church. It, and underscore this word, it seems to be contrary to the teaching of Scripture. So they're still saying that homosexuality is contrary to the teaching of Scripture, but they soften their stance a little bit by the time they get to 1980. Instead of being dogmatic about it as they were in 1978, they say it seems to be contrary to the teaching of Scripture. Well, where's that going to lead to? Next, let's go to 1991. Listen to this quote. the church, and this is talking about the Presbyterian Church, should, quote, reevaluate its definition of sin to reflect the changing mores of society. The church to sound a call for widening the circle of the faithful with gays, lesbians, and heterosexual singles who practice safe sex. We feel, listen to this, we feel that marriage is not what legitimizes sexual gratification. So what they're saying by the time you get to 1991, the Presbyterian Church, is that you don't have to be married. Two single heterosexuals can, as long as they practice safe sex, that's okay. Gays and lesbians, that's okay. That's 1991. But in 13 years before that, they said homosexuality is sin. Now they're saying gays, lesbians, and heterosexual singles who practice safe sex, we should widen the circle of our fellowship, of the faithful. Marriage is not what legitimizes sexual gratification, according to the Presbyterian Church in 1991. Next, let's skip forward 19 more years to 2010. Now listen carefully, because we're going to see the gradual transformation, the change of the Presbyterian Church from saying that homosexuality is sin in 1978 to allowing homosexuals to be preachers and to hold marriage ceremonies between gay couples wanting to marry. Here's what the quote says in 2010. Presbyterian leaders voted Thursday to allow non-celibate gays in committed relationships to serve as clergy, approving the first of two policy changes that can make their church one of the most gay-friendly major Christian denominations in the U.S. What this is about is making sure we uphold what Christ taught us, to not judge one another, said Dan Roth, a church elder from Sacramento. Now I want to pause there for a minute, and I'll continue on with the quote in a minute. Notice he says, we're going to start allowing gay marriages and so forth because we want to uphold what Christ taught us, to not judge one another. How many times on this program have we condemned sin and people said, but you ought not, maybe a caller, but you ought not judge another person? They use that excuse to justify people in their sin. And that's exactly what the Presbyterian Church did in 2010. They're saying, it's okay to be gay. It's okay to be a lesbian. We're not to judge one another. And that's their justification for it. That's a total misuse of that passage in Matthew 7. Let me continue on with a quote from July 2010. Several major Christian denominations have voted in recent years to allow non-celibate gays to serve as clergy if they are in committed relationships. Among them are the Evangelical, Lutheran Church in America, the U.S. Episcopal Church, and the United Church of Christ. Benjamin Wind, a non-voting young adult delegate to the Assembly from Syracuse, New York, and we're talking about Presbyterians, said Presbyterians of his generation greatly favor the change. So the younger Presbyterians were greatly in favor of this change of ceasing saying that homosexuality was sin like they did in 1978, changing to saying it's okay to be a homosexual, that you can be a faithful Christian and a practicing homosexual at the same time. The younger members of the Presbyterian Church were greatly in favor of that change, and guess what? The Presbyterian Church made the change. We skip forward 5 years to 2015. Quote, the Presbyterian Church made a historic decision to formally recognize gay marriage and allow same-sex couples to marry in its congregations. The denomination voted to redefine the church constitution on marriage to include a commitment between two people. And I remember that change in 2015. The Presbyterian Church formally voted to recognize gay marriage and allow same-sex couples to marry in its congregation. Now, back in 1978, they said it was a sin. But over the course of time, they've changed, and now they say it's okay. A lot of churches have done that. But what does the Bible say? Let's go back to the Old Testament, Leviticus 20, verse 13. But before we do, let's take this call. Dave from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great to hear from you, Dave.
Hey, I'm a member of the Presbyterian Church of in America, and we do not believe that. So I just want you to understand that the other Presbyterian Church is the liberal branch, and we are not part of that. So not all the Presbyterians feel that way.
That's a good point, Dave. So the Presbyterian Church of the USA is the branch that changed officially in 2015. Am I right?
They are the liberal church. I'm part of the Presbyterian Church in America.
That's a different branch of it, right?
Absolutely different. So I just want your folks to understand that we do not all feel the same way about this.
Okay, Dave. I'm glad you pointed that out. It's a difference in the Presbyterian Church of America and the Presbyterian Church of the USA, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the Presbyterian Church, not of America, but the Presbyterian Church in America.
Okay. So. I got it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for pointing that out, Dave.
Okay. Bye.
Good. And so Dave is, and I appreciate Dave pointing that out, because he doesn't want to be associated with this other Presbyterian Church, this liberal Presbyterian Church, Presbyterian Church of the USA, that is changed to allow gay marriage. And I'm glad Dave wanted to point that out, because if somebody tried to associate me with accepting gay marriage, the church I belong to, I'd want to point out real quick, no, we don't accept gay marriage. We're against that because God, the Bible, shows that it's false. Now, we're looking at the Old Testament. We're not under the Old Testament anymore. But in the Old Testament, it was condemned in no uncertain terms. Leviticus 20, verse 13 says, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. So, in the Old Testament, not only was it considered to be a sin for a man to lie with another man as he would lie with a woman, the penalty back under the Old Testament times was death. Now, we don't have that same penalty in the New Testament, but it's condemned just as severely in the passage we read in Romans 1. Another New Testament passage which condemns homosexuality, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Here's how it reads. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So homosexuals, according to that verse, are not going to be saved. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. As I said, the Bible condemns this sin from cover to cover, Old Testament and New Testament. Yet many of the churches, many churches have changed. You go, as I said, you go back 100 years ago, you go back to 1978, and the Presbyterian Church of the USA, as that denomination is called, they said homosexuality is sin. But the Presbyterian Church of the USA, since 1978, gradually changed until now. We read in 2015, they officially made the historic decision to formally recognize gay marriage and allow same-sex couples to marry in its congregations. A lot of the churches have done that, and Dave is right. We would consider them the more liberal type of churches. The Episcopal Church, United Church of Christ, these are all churches that have changed on homosexuality. Now, let me ask you this question. The churches have changed, many of them have, on this issue of homosexuality. But did the Bible change? Did the Bible change between 1978 and 2015? Now, the Presbyterian Church changed its official stance. They used to say homosexuality is a sin, 1978. 2015, they fully accept homosexuality as being okay. Gay men and lesbians. Did the Bible change? Of course the Bible didn't change. Did God change? Does God in 1978 say that homosexuality is a sin, but when you get to 2015, now all of a sudden God says, no, it's okay? That's absurd to even think about that, to even consider that possibility. God didn't change. His word didn't change. People have changed. Churches, many churches have changed. Now let me ask you this question. If that church, like the Presbyterian Church that we're talking about, or these other churches changed on homosexuality, are they still right? if they were right before, are they right now? How can they be right in both cases when in one case we go back 22, about 40 years ago, 40 years ago they said homosexuality is a sin, and now they say it's okay? How can they be right both times when they're saying something completely opposite? Yet, as I pointed out at the beginning of the program, many churches, many people who claim to be Christians feel like that can happen. One person can say this, homosexuality is a sin. Another preacher can say this, it's not a sin. And they're both right. Because they say it doesn't really matter what you teach or believe, as long as you accept Christ, is what they say. Is that really true? How can you really accept Christ without accepting what He taught? You mean you can say, Jesus, I believe there's a Son of God, but I disagree with you on what you taught on homosexuality? That's not really accepting Christ. That's showing disrespect for Christ, not accepting Him. And so I think it's obvious that we can't change as we would want to on doctrine. Whatever the Bible says has to be true. The Presbyterian Church of the USA and many other churches changed on homosexuality over the last two or three decades. But they change from agreeing with what the Bible says to disagreeing with what the Bible says. And when they do that, they come under God's censor. They're not in fellowship with God anymore. I think we can see that. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other topic, give us a call, 877-655-6755. As I said, almost all type churches have made similar changes on homosexuality. Not all of them. Dave pointed out one that hasn't. But most churches had. And you know what? They've changed on other topics also. For example, I'm turning to Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. We talk about gay marriage and how the Bible condemns that. But did you know also that the Bible condemns adulterous marriages? Pat, what do you mean by adulterous marriages? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 19:9, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. So just like gay marriage is wrong, we see that from the passages we've read, Jesus is condemning adulterous marriages. In other words, if a man divorces his wife for any reason other than sexual unfaithfulness, other than fornication, and he remarries, Jesus calls the second marriage adultery. Adultery, that means that every time he has relations with this new wife, the second wife, he's committing adultery. God, many churches accept adulterous marriages. They perform wedding ceremonies for people who have been divorced and act like it's okay. And these churches have been accepting these adulterous marriages for decades, and I believe that's what led to the acceptance of gay marriages in many cases. Just like it's wrong from saying homosexuality is wrong to saying that it's right as a church, it's also wrong and just as wrong to change from saying saying adulterous marriages are wrong to accepting adulterous marriages. A divorce and remarriage, if it's not for fornication, that's adultery. Another thing that churches have changed on is they've added infant baptism. And they changed sprinkling. They've changed baptism to sprinkling. I'm sorry, I'm not being clear here. Let me show you something in Acts 8, verse 37. Acts 8, verse 37 on infant baptism. But before I do, let me take this call. Lonnie from New Mexico, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I was just wondering if the Presbyterians were probably shying away from the Scripture, Romans 1, 27 and so forth, to justify the gays and lesbians and not to make them feel uncomfortable. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
That's exactly what they're doing. I think you're right, Lonnie. Aren't they compromising God's word?
Yes.
They are. Now, let me ask you a question, Lonnie. I was bringing that up to start with, and then I moved over to adulterous marriages. When a church ignores Matthew 19:9 and accepts an adulterous marriage, aren't they also compromising God's word, just like churches that allow homosexual marriages?
Right, right.
Yeah, they are, aren't they, Lonnie?
Yes, yes.
Thank you for your call, Lonnie.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So in Acts 8, verse 37, the eunuch said in verse 36, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so, what we see here is that if you want to be baptized, Philip says to the eunuch who wanted to be baptized, he says, "What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe in thine heart, you may be baptized." The implication is that if you don't believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can't be baptized. Now, can an infant believe that Jesus is the Son of God? No, he's not mature enough. He can't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So this verse shows that infant baptism is a false practice. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 877-655-6755. And we mentioned about changing immersion for baptism to sprinkling. I'm turning over to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." Now, when somebody dies, unfortunately, and we take him out to the graveyard to bury him, does that mean we put them all the way up under the ground or just sprinkle a little dirt on top of their head? It means we know what buried means. We put them all the way up under the ground. And so in baptism, we should bury a person. Verse 5 says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." So baptism itself is supposed to look like, be a picture of, be a likeness of the burial and resurrection of Christ. Sprinkling doesn't suffice. The Bible teaches immersion for baptism. But just like churches have changed on homosexuality, churches have changed on infant baptism. They started to allow infant baptism. They changed baptism from being immersion, from being an immersion to sprinkling. They have no more right to change baptism than they have a right to change what the Bible teaches on homosexuality. What about women preachers, for example? I'm turning to 1 Corinthians 14:34. Do churches have a right to change on women preachers? Most of them have. But 1 Corinthians 14:34-35 says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." So women are to keep silence in the church. It's a shame for women to speak in the church, yet most churches have changed and now allow women to preach from the pulpit. But we all agree it's wrong for these liberal churches to change from saying homosexuality is a sin to saying that it's okay. Well, wouldn't it be just as wrong to change from saying women preachers is wrong to saying women preachers is right? Be just as wrong, wouldn't it? D from Washington. Got to go quick. We have to go off the air in less than a minute.
Women preachers is wrong. Saying women preachers is right. Be just as wrong, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You'll have to turn off your radio if you want to understand the program.
Okay, my wife divorced her husband and before I even knew her. And
hey, D,
we were married in the court, not in
D,
the
D, we're going to have to go off the air. I got less than 30 seconds. Could you hang on the line and I'll talk to you after the program is over?
Okay.
Just hang on the line. I'll talk to you after the program is over. We have two or three people waiting, but we just got to go off the air. We appreciate these calls. Let me mention, if you want to talk to me further about the Bible through the week, send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com. Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com, or you can call me, 256-682-9753.